This is the Ontario Family Law Podcast, featuring issues related to marriage, separation, divorce, and even some child welfare issues. It is a companion to the book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on Amazon or by calling 416-446-5847. My name is John Schumann. I'm a certified specialist in family law, family mediator and arbitrator, collaborative lawyer, and the partner managing the family law group at Devery Smith Frank LLP. Today in the podcast, we will start going through the family court process step by step by talking about how to start family court proceedings. As we see high rates of divorce and even higher rate of breakdowns for common law relationships, we also see that many people find themselves in family court. However, very few people know much about family court. On top of that, a lot of what people hear is not correct. What happens in family court is surprising to many people. Very few people are satisfied with the family court process. To do well in family court, you really do need a lawyer. You should also consider the alternatives to going to court, because it is not necessary to use family court to resolve the issues arising out of your separation. There are several other ways to address those issues, which give you much more control, much greater input into the final outcome, and cause much less stress than going to family court. I discussed those alternatives in another podcast, the second one in this series of podcasts. In addition to listening to that podcast, you may want to discuss those options with a good family lawyer to make sure you are taking the steps that are best for you. However, if you have to deal with a former spouse or partner who is abusive, mentally ill, has substance abuse issues, or who is determined to be uncooperative or make life unnecessarily difficult, you may have to go to family court. In this podcast, I will briefly go over how to start the family court process. To start your family court proceeding, you need to file a document called an application. An application is a pleading, which means it is a document that sets out what is going to be covered in the family court proceedings. If you don't ask for something in your application, then you won't be able to get it in family court. You actually have to give a lot of thought to what you're going to ask for, because it can affect not only what you state in your application, but also what court you are in. In Ontario, there are three courts to deal with family law matters. In several jurisdictions, there is the Family Court of the Ontario Superior Court of Justice. If you live in a county or municipality that has a Family Court of the Ontario Superior Court of Justice, you can ask for anything you want that a court can give in one court proceeding. However, in many municipalities, there are two courts. They are the Ontario Court of Justice and the Superior Court of Justice. The Ontario Court of Justice deals with only child custody, access, child and spousal support, name change issues, and restraining orders. It does not deal with divorces or property matters or other more complicated forms of relief that are available in court cases. You have to deal with all those in the Superior Court of Justice. Many people find these different courts confusing because they are confusing. To make sure you are in the right court, speak to a family lawyer. Another reason why you have to know what you're asking for is because that affects what other documents you have to file at the same time as your application. If you are asking for orders related to the parenting of a child, such as custody or access or similar orders, then you must file a Form 35.1 affidavit, which sets out some basic parenting information. No matter how urgent your situation is, even if it's related to a kidnapping, the court will not hear any matter in relation to a child unless you have filed a Form 35.1 affidavit that you have sworn before a commissioner. If you are asking for any relief in relation to money, then you must file a financial statement. If your case is only about support, then you use a Form 13 financial statement. If your case relates to any sort of money issues other than support, even if one of the claims is support, then you use a Form 13.1 financial statement. Copies of these forms are available on the Ontario Courts website, which is www.ontariocourts.on.ca. It is very important to be very careful when filling out your financial statement. The way the financial statement is set up, family lawyers and judges can see quickly if someone is not being entirely forthcoming about their financial circumstances. You need to make sure that you have solid numbers with some sort of papers to back them up, and that you are not just making up the numbers on your financial statement. If you just make up the numbers, then a judge will think you are lying. It is best to pull out the document that used to come up with each number and make a copy of it, because you may be asked for it later if anyone wants to challenge the accuracy of your financial statement. Also, whenever you file a financial statement, you need to attach 3 years of notices of assessment, which is the document you get back from the County Revenue Agency saying whether or not they agree with your tax return. The court will not take your financial statement without the notices of assessment. The court will not let you start any court proceeding in relation to money unless you file a financial statement, no matter how urgent your circumstances are. No financial statement means no case with regard to money. Each court application has four parts for you to fill out. The family history section can be fairly straightforward because it is just the specific facts about where people live and how old they are. Note that in order to start a family court proceeding in relation to children, the children must be living in the jurisdiction of the court where you're trying to start the proceedings. If the children do not live in that jurisdiction, then you will run into problems trying to start court proceedings there. Also, if you want to ask the court for a divorce, then one of the parties must live in the same county or municipality as the court for at least 1 year. If no one has lived in the same jurisdiction as the court for a year, then the court will not grant the divorce and will not allow you to even start a divorce proceeding until someone has lived there for 1 year. In the next section of the application, you will have to fill out checkboxes to tell the court what kind of order you're asking for. After that, you have to write out the specific orders that you're asking for. The court wants to see what you want the court order to specifically say when you get to that section of your application. The last section of the application is where you set out the facts that explains why it is important for the court to make the orders you are seeking. It is not the time to tell your whole story. That will come later. All you need to do is set out the very basic facts that entitle you to the court orders that you are asking for. When you fill out this section, you either need to speak to a lawyer or do a lot of research, because in order to get certain types of orders, you need to write out certain types of facts. Those facts are set out in the law, either in the written legislation or in court decisions. They are not explained in any court documents. If you do not set out the right facts in your application, then your court proceedings can be dismissed very quickly. Once you have filled out all the paperwork, you must take 3 copies of it to the court office. You will also need to put all your documents into a duotang-type binding, which you may be able to get at the court office. However, before you head to the court office, you should check to make sure that all your documents are 3-hole punched. The court clerk will look over your documents to see if they have the very basic things that they need to have. If they are essentially right, then the court clerk will give you back 2 copies, one for you and one for you to serve on your former partner. You cannot serve your former partner yourself. You need to either hire a process server or get someone else to give the documents to your former partner. Someone has to actually hand the documents to your former partner. They cannot just be put in the mail or in a courier. Whoever is serving the documents must identify your former partner and then hand them the documents. Once your process server or your friend has done that, they have to swear an affidavit of service that says how they serve the documents, when, and where. You then need to take that affidavit of service back to the court and file it with the court to show that you have served your application on the other side. As the person who started the family court proceeding, you will be called the applicant. Your former partner and whoever else you may have served are called respondents. Respondents have 30 days after the date they were served to file a document called an answer. They have 60 days if you serve them outside of Canada or the United States. With that answer, they also have to file a Form 35.1 affidavit if the case relates to children. They have to file the appropriate financial statement if either the applicants or the respondents are asking for orders in relation to money. If the respondents do not file an answer and the appropriate other documents with the court within 30 days of being served, or 60 days if they were served outside of Canada or the United States, then the applicant can go ahead and ask the court to make the orders that are requested in the application, without any further notice to the respondents. In the answer, the respondent sets out the facts that explain the court why it is not appropriate for a judge to make the orders the applicant requested in the application. A respondent should speak to a lawyer or do a lot of research before filling out this section, because only certain facts make it wrong under the law for the judge to make certain orders. If a respondent sets out facts that do not matter in the answer, then the judge can go ahead and make the orders that the applicant is seeking anyway. In the answer, the respondent also gets to ask the court to make orders against the applicant or any other respondents. This part of the answer looks a lot like the application, and it is filled out in the same way. The respondent sets out the general types of orders that he or she wants, then sets out the specific orders that the respondent wants, and then sets out the basic facts that give the court the basis for making the order that the respondent wants. Once the respondent has completed the answer and all the other documents that must be filled out with the answer, the respondent must serve those documents on the applicant and any other respondent. However, the respondent can serve those documents by mail, by courier, or by fax if they follow certain rules. The respondent's documents do not need to be served on the applicant personally by giving them directly to the applicant. However, the applicant must have received them within 30 or 60 days, otherwise the applicant can go ahead and get the order set out in the application. After the respondent serves the answer, the respondent must take the answer and all the other documents, together with an affidavit of service, to the court office and file all of them to prove that the respondent has actually served the application on the applicant. Once the applicant receives an answer, the applicant can choose to file another document called a reply. The reply allows the applicant to set the facts that the applicant feels makes it wrong for the judge to make the order that the respondent is asking for in the answer. The applicant has only 10 days from the date that he or she was served with the answer to serve the reply on the respondent and then file it with the court. It is very important not to leave your documents to the last minute. The lineups at the court are often very long and usually take several hours to get through. It may take you the entire day to get up to the counter to give the court clerk the documents you want to file. If you wait and go to the court late in the day, the court may close before someone gets to serve you. If that happens, you have to come back the next day. Another thing that can happen is that the court clerk finds that there is something wrong with your documents. The court will then send you away to go and fix the documents, and after that, you'll have to start at the back of the line again. You may not be able to get back before the counter closes again that same day. If you miss a deadline because court clerks do not get to you or because they have sent you away to fix your documents, it does not matter. The court and the law would treat you as if you had missed that deadline on purpose, so you need to give yourself lots of extra time to get your documents filed. Another consideration is that you do not get a court date as soon as you file a court document. There is a waiting list for first court dates, which are case conferences except in extremely urgent matters. If you want to get the first court date to happen as soon as possible, then the first time you go to court to file either your application or your answer, you should also take along a document called a notice of conference. The court clerk will fill out the first court date, which is the case conference, on that notice of conference and give it back to you to serve on the other parties. The earlier you get to court to fill out of that document, the earlier your court date will be. So if you are an applicant who wants an early court date, then you should take the notice of conference with you when you go to court for the first time with your application. If you are a respondent and you did not get a notice of conference with the application when it was served, then you should take one along with you when you file your answer and then send it along to the applicant after you file your answer. That is how you start a court proceeding in family court in Ontario. In the next podcast, we will talk about all the steps in the court proceeding that lead up to a trial. My name is John Schumann. I'm a certified specialist in family law in Toronto. You can reach me at www.devrylaw.ca. That's www.devrylaw.ca. Or you can call me at 416-446-5847. Thanks for listening. We will talk again soon.